The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Can't get enough of my dulcet tones. Want exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else, including my take on the real story behind the fake news? Join my cabinet, Gorka's Cabinet, today. Go to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A.com. Click on the Gorka's Cabinet banner and join the most exclusive club out there for content you can't find anywhere else and the knowledge you need. Gorka's Cabinet at sebgorka.com. Are you there, America? Because we're here in studio. Feels like a Monday, doesn't it? But it's not a slow Monday, that's for sure. It was quite a weekend. We will be talking to Greg Jarrett. Latest developments today. The president has pardoned and commuted numerous sentences, including Governor Blagojevich and also others who we expected could receive a pardon, such as Commissioner Bernie Kerik. Is this a dry run for something else happening soon? We'll ask Greg Jarrett. But first, I have to return to the topic of a small man from New York. It's really lit up the lines. Also, our text number. I keep getting texts from farmers, truck drivers, people who work with their hands, who built America, not happy with what Mike Bloomberg had to say about those that feed us. I have two audio cuts. One is a very famous one that is a response. Let's start with Bloomberg's words. In Oxford, of course, talking to an elite audience 4 years ago about how stupid people who work with their hands are. Michael Bloomberg, cut four.
To be a farmer, it's a process. You dig a hole, you put a seed in, you put dirt on top, add water, up comes the corn. Then we had 300, you could learn that. Then you have 300 years of the Industrial Society. You put the piece of metal on the lathe, you turn the crank and the direction of the arrow, and you can have a job. And we created a lot of jobs. 98% of the world worked in agriculture today. It's 2% in the United States. Now comes the information economy. And the information economy is fundamentally different because it's built around replacing people with technology. And the skill sets that you have to learn are how to think and analyze. And that is a whole degree level different. You have to have a different skill set. You have to have a lot more gray matter.
As one person just texted me, I'll leave the first word out. Beep Bloomberg. I paint cars for a living, and I make $115,000 a year on a high school and vocational school education. I'd like to see this idiot change his own tire. Wouldn't that be fun? I would pay a significant amount of money to see Michael Bloomberg. Just give him a wrench, give him a tire iron, and see him change a tire. He says you require gray matter. Gray matter, the capacity to think and analyze to be a farmer. Oh, and working in a factory? You just have to turn the handle on the lathe in the direction the arrow is pointing. Clearly this man has never used a lathe, one of the most skilled, one of the pieces of equipment that requires one of the highest levels of skill to operate that you'll find in a factory short of a CNC machine.
But hey, this is who he is. He's just arrogant. He's just an elitist. And this is the man who thinks he will be the Democrat. And he may buy the Democrat nomination of the United States. But let's listen to a response from many, 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 many years ago. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. And let's go to a giant in our field, the late, great Paul Harvey. Cut to.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon and then pain in from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
Wow. And that's not even scratching the surface of what it means to be a person who provides us sustenance, who grows and nurtures the food and the animals that literally provide us with life. But to Bloomberg, they're all stupid. They're all peasants. And if you work with your hands in a factory, you're an idiot as well. Why? Because I'm a Democrat candidate for president. I'm smart. I never dirtied my hands. I wouldn't know where to begin to milk a cow or to plant a tree. That's for the peasants to do. But that's where we are again. We have a billionaire dripping in arrogance. And we have an unreconstituted communist who praises the Soviet Union after he goes there on his holiday. Oh, and then we mustn't forget Mayor Pete Buttigieg. There's video going around. He was on the Chris Wallace Show. I want to share with you a little video audio clip. He was angry at me and Rush Limbaugh. And of course, we've been misquoted, but here's my response. Let's play this little interview, of course, with Chris Wallace and the failed mayor of South Bend, Indiana, Pete Buttigieg. Play video.
You have been very open about the fact that you're gay, and it hasn't been much of an issue in this campaign until now. This week, two conservative supporters of President Trump, Rush Limbaugh and Sebastian Gorka, talked about it on their shows. Take a look.
A gay guy, 37 years old, loves kissing his husband on debate stages. Can you see Trump have fun with that?
Why is a homosexual man lecturing us about the sanctity of life in the womb? Just a little curious there. Strange.
Mayor, what's your reaction to those comments?
Well, I am in a faithful, loving, committed marriage. I'm proud of my marriage. And I'm proud of my husband. And I'm not going to be lectured on family values from the likes of Rush Limbaugh or anybody who supports Donald J. Trump as the moral as well as political leader of the United States.
Well, he is, Mayor Buttigieg. You won't be lectured about your marriage and your relationship with your quote-unquote husband. I'm not even going to discuss the question as to whether you're actually in a marriage, before the eyes of God, but you won't be lectured. But you will lecture us, will you? On what religion and what Christianity means? You'll lecture America on what Christian virtues are? And then you have the temerity to talk about infanticide, as just some possibility for parents to decide. When Meghan McCain challenged you about a woman deciding to kill her baby on The View, what did you respond? You said, that female, that family may have picked out a name, maybe assembling a crib, and they learned something excruciating, and they're faced with this terrible choice. And I don't know what to tell them morally about what they should do, but I trust in her decision. Well, then you're justifying infanticide. So you are prepared to preach to us. You are prepared to excuse evil, because killing a child is always evil. A child in the womb, a child that has been born. How dare you tell us that we aren't allowed to qualify what you say, but you are allowed to justify infanticide. That's why you will never, ever be the president of the United States, because Americans will not stand by for somebody who excuses evil. You will remain a failed presidential candidate and irrelevance, not even a footmark in history. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Did you get that, Chris Wallace? Back with the great Greg Jarrett in a moment.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Flynn sentencing suspended. Roger Stone, the foreman of the jury, found to be a raging Democrat. Commutations and pardons today. McCabe not charged with any crime. Wow. How do we make sense of all of this? Well, there's one person who I always rely upon. He is the legal and political analyst for Fox News Channel. He is the author of The Russia Hoax and The Incredible Witch Hunt. You need this book right now from Greg Jarrett. Follow him right now on Twitter, Greg Jarrett, Greg 2 G's, Jarrett 2 R's, 2 T's. Greg Jarrett Esquire. Welcome back to America First.
Sebastian, great to be back with you. Good talking to you always.
First things first, let's do a reverse order. The commutations, the pardons today of Governor Blagojevich, Bernie Kerik, and others, to be expected. A lot of talking heads saying, now, ooh, he's just getting ready. This is just a rehearsal for Flynn and all the others. What's Greg Jarrett's analysis?
Well, I think this president has demonstrated time and again that he has great compassion. He certainly took action to pardon Joe Arpaio, the sheriff who'd been railroaded out in Arizona. He's issued some other pardons and commutations as well. He's a champion of justice reform. Blagojevich has served 8 years. I mean, that is more than enough. You think about it. I mean, 2 years is a really long time behind bars. Right. 8 years, that's a lifetime. And so that one was thoroughly justified.
And what are these calls that this is just a dry run for what could happen? Let's shift to that. So the idea that we have people who are brought in to re-examine these cases, what's going to happen in your analysis? The Roger Stone case seems a clear mistrial. This bias, this woman either didn't admit to her bias when she was vetted to become a member of the jury, or it was included on her vetting form and they still allowed her. What happens now, or what should happen to Roger Stone? And the idea that the sentencing is just going to be indefinitely postponed, this is going to hang above General Flynn for who knows how long.
Well, as to Roger Stone, there is now compelling new evidence that the jury foreperson by the name of Tamika Hart harbored extreme anti-Trump opinions,
right,
anti-Roger Stone opinions, and that she appears to have concealed them from the court during jury selection. You know, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who's an Obama appointee, is nonetheless expressing reluctance to even hold a hearing, although she finally conceded, quote, "I may decide to do it in abundance of caution." No fundamental fairness, not caution, demands that Judge Jackson hold such a hearing. Her failure to recognize this bodes poorly for Roger Stone. I mean, this Tamika Hart is a Democratic activist, communicated a string of social media posts critical of Trump, actively engaged in protests against him. Before she was even picked as a jury, she was making specific comments about the Roger Stone case.
Yes.
Praising the Mueller investigation, suggesting the president and his supporters, such as Stone, were racists. She should never have been allowed anywhere near the courthouse, much less a foreperson of the jury. This deserves a new trial.
And then with General Flynn, this what I find to be a very seemingly capricious judge that blows hot and cold, unpredictable Judge Sullivan. Is this another case? Is there double jeopardy involved? Can we just have the DOJ say this has gone too far and throw it out? How are things leaning today in your analysis, Greg Jarrett?
Well, in Chapter 8 of Witch Hunt, I open with the FBI report on the interview with General Flynn from the two FBI agents, and I'll read it to you. It says, throughout the interview, Flynn had a very sure demeanor, did not give indicators of deception. Peter Strzok and redacted FBI agent, we know it's Joe Pienka, both had the impression at the time that Flynn was not lying. So how is it possible, Seb, that Mueller's team of partisans could prosecute a guy for lying who told the truth? So, I mean, the answer to this is that they pressured him. They threatened to prosecute his son. You know, they threatened to conjure up out of thin air FARA violations. And Flynn went broke, had to sell his house. So in the end, he threw in the towel. Thank goodness for Sidney Powell, who's Flynn's new defense attorney. She's convinced him on the basis I've cited here in my book that he should withdraw his plea. And I think in the end, if that happens, the Department of Justice will drop the case against Michael Flynn.
Wow.
They should.
Wow. Well, she's done an amazing job, and hopefully from your mouth, your lips to God's ears. Let's talk about the one that's really made conservative social media meltdown over the weekend, and that's the McCabe decision, the declination, the decision by the Department of Justice not to press charges against Andrew McCabe for his repeated lying about his leaking of information about the Clinton email server story to the press. Should those who care about rule of law and justice be very concerned about this? Is this really a case of two-tiered justice, or should we remain positive that there's another person out there called the U.S. Attorney of Connecticut, John Durham, and this is a very specific declination and has nothing else to do with what that individual may be in legal jeopardy for?
Well, I must say that I'm very disappointed that the Department of Justice decided not to prosecute Andrew McCabe. He lied not once, not twice, four times, three of them under oath. And then he admitted that he had lied and apologized for it.
Yeah.
So here you have multiple lies and an admission of lying to federal investigators under oath. And the Department of Justice is choosing not to prosecute him. I understand that it's very difficult to get a conviction in front of a Washington, D.C. jury of anyone who's on record hating Trump because, you know, jurors in Washington, D.C. are ultra-liberal, and they likely have not a good opinion of Trump. So it's a tough case to prove, but that doesn't mean that you don't go forward when the evidence is overwhelming and compelling, as it was in the McCabe case. It's discouraging because it suggests that there is selective prosecution and unequal justice under the law, and that's wrong.
Yeah, and just to be clear about what Greg just mentioned, 90.9% of Washington, D.C. voted for Hillary Clinton. 90.9% voted Democrat in 2016. So that's the community that you have to gather your jury pool from. He is the author of The Russia Hoax and Witch Hunt, thegregjarrett.com is his fabulous website. Follow him on Twitter. Greg Jarrett, back with Fox News' legal and political analyst here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, after these messages. Don't touch that dial. If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
No violence, no hate speech, just happy warriors on America First.
Breaking news here on the Salem Radio Network. It's a sad, sad day. This is from PJ Media, Matt Margolis. Boy Scouts of America has filed for bankruptcy. Amid soaring sex abuse lawsuits, the controversy plagued Boy Scouts of America is going bankrupt. They have between one, it's a weird kind of scale, between $1 and $10 billion worth of assets, and a whole team of lawyers want those assets. Sad day indeed. Let's get back to work here with our good friend, loyal friend of America First. He is your favorite legal analyst on the Fox News channel, Greg Jarrett, author of course, the bestseller, The Witch Hunt. He started with The Russia Hoax, and he is the perfect man to help explain what happens next. Wherever I travel the country, Greg, I'm sure it's the same for you. The question I get after I give a speech is always, what's going to happen to the worst of the worst? What's going to happen to the James Clappers, the Brennans, the Comeys? If you look at the last 3 years, is it unreasonable to say that those who tried to effect a silent coup against the 45th president are going to get away scot-free, Greg?
No, it's not unreasonable, and in fact, that's the track record so far. The people who launched without proper predication in violation of the law and regulations, the Russia hoax in the summer of 2016, to damage Trump, and when he became president, to drive him from office, have so far gotten away with it. That is a sad commentary on our justice system in America. It's not over yet. Obviously, U.S. Attorney John Durham, appointed by the Attorney General Bill Barr, is still investigating the origins of the Russia hoax, the witch hunt that ensued. I think he is certainly looking very closely at all the lies and deceptions to the FISA court in order to spy. I'm hopeful that some of those individuals that did it will be held accountable. If nothing else, I am optimistic that Durham will issue a report exposing the corruption, if not lawlessness, of the individuals behind it all.
One thing that we've heard repeatedly is you know, you let the small things go because you wait until you can get them bang to rights on something that's incontrovertible. When it comes to the big movers, when it comes to Brennan and Clapper Comey, what are the big things that it's pretty demonstrably, pretty easily demonstrable that the crimes they committed? What are those things that it's, you think, as a legal professional, relatively easy to demonstrate in a court of law that they did that was illegal, Greg?
Well, in my latest book, which, and I go through all of the various criminal offenses that may have been committed by people like Comey and McCabe and Peter Strzok and John Brennan and James Clapper. And, you know, if I were the attorney general, I would certainly go after them. This attorney general, I'm not so sure anymore.
Are you losing faith in Attorney General Barr?
Yeah, I am. I am losing faith in Barr. You know, the decision not to go after McCabe, who lied prodigiously and egregiously, was really a gut punch. And, I can't justify it. And so there was also a criminal referral against James Comey for
yes.
stealing government documents, presidential memos, leaking them to the media, including one that was classified, and then lying about it.
Yeah.
There was a criminal referral by the Inspector General to the Department of Justice, and they have chosen not to pursue that case either. So it's disheartening, to say the least.
Well, it's not over yet, but the closer we get to that election in 258 days, the less the chances are that some significant charges will be brought, in my opinion. In the meantime, if you're listening to this show, you need to know the truth. And the truth is contained in The Russia Hoax and the best-selling Witch Hunt by our friend Greg Jarrett. Order them now, The Russia Hoax and The Witch Hunt, and follow this man on Twitter at Greg Jarrett and his website, thegregjarrett.com. Thank you, my friend. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are broadcasting from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you suffer from daily pain, my friends, please allow me to be of service to you. There's a product that I take every single day, which is natural, that has no negative side effects, and doesn't mask the pain like regular synthetic painkillers. It actually attacks the source of the pain. That's what you really want. The ingredients of Relief Factor, curcumin, resveratrol, omega-3s, actually attack the source of the pain, and that's why tens of thousands of Americans are taking it as we speak. See their incredible video testimonials at relieffactor.com, and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day to find out if you could be freed from your daily aches and pains, as I was. I am now 14 months pain free. That's how powerful Relief Factor is. Less than a dollar a day, is it worth it for you? You know it is. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And if you take it morning and evening, as I do, there's four little capsules. I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, that you will know by the end of the 3 weeks if it works for you like it works for me. Like the president says at the end of all of his rallies, what have you got to lose? Back to your calls here on America First, 833. There's only one line open, 833-33-GORKA. G-O-R-K-A. That's 833-334-6752. Clearly, it's in the same since Nancy left to tear up papers of the State of the Union. Let's listen to Nancy and her justification of why she did that churlish thing. This is Cut 13 with Christian Amanpour of CNN. Nancy Pelosi, Cut 13.
My tearing up the State of the Union address, my tearing it up had to do with, I thought if I can find a page that doesn't have a falsehood on it, I'll spare it. But I couldn't find that. I almost did when he
Hang on, just stop it there. So, just stop it there. She couldn't find a page without a falsehood on it. So I guess that little kid whose great-grandfather was a Tuskegee Airman who the president made a general that afternoon, I guess that was a lie. I guess that that kid wanting to be the first officer in the Space Force, that's a lie. I guess that giving that 9-year-old African-American girl a choice of where she goes to school, I guess that was a lie. I guess the fact that we have the lowest unemployment for minorities in America since record-keeping began, that's a lie. Nancy, you really have no soul, do you? You may pretend to be a Catholic, but if you think that 9-year-old African-American children getting a choice to choose where they go to school is a lie, and that Tuskegee Airmen should not be recognized, and the highest employment for women ever in America is a lie, you're just evil or insane. I don't usually say that people are evil, but there's two options. You're evil or you're insane. Which is it? America will decide in 258 days, and I pray to the good Lord that that gavel is taken from your senile fingers by the next Speaker of the House when we win that election. A more joyful topic, my friends. Have you joined? Have you clicked on the banner? It's at the bottom of my website, sebgorka.com. It's lovely. I just checked it out. It's me with Mike Lindell. I've given Mike a really tiny photograph. Guys, that's not fair. My photograph's big and little Mike. It's like mini Mike Bloomberg. But this is Mike Lindell. He's a patriot. Let's make his photograph as big as mine. It's the Stand with Israel tour, December 2nd to the 11th. You want to come to Israel with me and Mike Lindell and American patriots who support this country. We're going to go to 40 different sites of historic and cultural interest, the Sea of Galilee, historic Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, on and on and on. The best accommodations, the best guides. It is going to be the trip of your life, memories that you will cherish forever. Go right now to sebgorka.com, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. Click on the beautiful blue Stand with Israel banner, and come with me on holiday. I've never gone with hundreds of American patriots on holiday. Let's do it with Mike Lindell. Join us this December. The call board is absolutely full, and you are not tired of discussing Mike Bloomberg and his disdain for those who feed us. Let's go to Aaron in Maryland, line 4. Aaron, welcome back to America First.
Hey, Dr. G.
Hey.
So I'm going to ask you a question. Do
yes.
you think Mike Bloomberg knows who Rube Goldberg is?
If he's not an IT programmer, I would say no.
Okay, because obviously I've grown up in rural Maryland. I have, you know, some family that's been in farming, you know, pretty regularly from my childhood up through my late teen years. You know, my parents had a little bit of property, so my dad was always constantly coming up with a Rube Goldberg invention to solve a simple problem around the property, and you know, of course, you know, cousins doing the same thing as farmers, they had to use simplistic methods to solve simplistic problems.
Yes.
But I'm sure that Mike Bloomberg would use a very complex and convoluted machine to solve the simplest problem that would be found on the farm. Something like,
Aaron,
oh, I don't know, changing a tire.
I don't think he'd be able to. No, I'm seriously, I would love to see, you know, I think he probably could not change the tire on a tractor. No, forget Rube Goldberg, you know, complicated, you know, solutions. I just think he wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't even know that he'd be able to find the clutch and stick the tractor in gear.
Clutch? What is this clutch you speak of? I completely agree. I completely agree, Aaron. This man is so out of touch, he has no idea. And I think you're being a little bit charitable, more charitable than I would be. But that's fine.
Well, of course. And, you know, the funny thing is that I've watched farmers in our local community evolve. I've seen them go from, you know, farming corn and soybeans. I've seen them move to, you know, in Maryland, farm brewing has become a very large segment of the market share where, you know, they can achieve higher margins in their business models. Right. You know, and they have to solve a huge host of logistics problems that go with the federal and state regulatory
agencies
that oversee the alcohol production.
I cannot imagine. Let just forget, you know, being just a farmer in Maryland, the regulations that you have to comport with. And then if you're making alcohol, if you're growing hops or malt to make beer, or oh my gosh, that would be torturous. Are you in that business?
No, I'm not. No. But I've talked with enough of the local business owners, farmers that are in that business. Not only do they have to worry about their nitrogen and their runoff plans, right, their stormwater management plans to go along with it, but they can't make 1 ounce of alcohol until they have all of their stamps and tax regs in place. It's a minimum 6 months before they are able to even turn an ounce of revenue on that business model.
Sheer insanity. Thank you for calling, Aaron. Laurie's going to be next up here on America First. But first, we have to have a message from the great Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son team behind a product that I take every single day and that we have our fellow faculty members here. That's what we call them. It's what the higher-ups at Salem call them, the faculty of Salem Radio. We have great individuals like Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, and Larry Elder, who, like me, stand wholeheartedly behind Relief Factor. Why? Because it provides everyday pain relief for tens of thousands of Americans. Myself, it was a lower back pain issue that had plagued me for almost a decade, for 9 years. Every time I went to church on Sunday, I'd feel it because I'd kneel down and boom, that's when it would hit me and I'd contort myself into all kinds of ridiculous positions and it would not go away. Then they asked me, would I endorse Relief Factor? I said, no. Not unless it's real, and I've tried it. So I did. I took it for just 2 weeks, 4 little capsules with my morning tea, 4 little capsules with dinner. And then I went to church 2 weeks later, and it was the strangest thing. I knelt down, and halfway through Mass, I said, this is weird. My back doesn't hurt. What's changed? And the only thing that had changed is my taking Relief Factor 2 weeks later, and now that's 14 months ago. And I'm still pain-free. Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next success story? It's so easy. Go to relieffactor.com. Order the 3-week quick starter pack for less than $20, $19.95. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. And I guarantee you, Dr. G's guarantee, if you take it morning and evening like I do for 3 weeks, you will know at the end if it works for you like it works for me. Come on, guys. You deserve it. Relieffactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Back with your calls in a moment.
Some of those jobs of the past are just not going to come back. And when somebody says, like the person you just mentioned, who I'm not going to advertise for, that he's going to bring all these jobs back. Well, how exactly are you going to do that? What are you going to do? There's no answer to it. He just says, well, I'm going to negotiate a better deal. Well, how exactly are you going to negotiate that? What magic wand do you have? And usually the answer is he doesn't have an answer.
But we did. And we brought them back. I just love the fact that Obama is tweeting out today. 11 years ago, near the bottom of the worst recession in generations, I signed the Recovery Act, paving the way for more than a decade of economic growth and the longest streak of job creation in American history. Oh, the fact that we reversed every single one of your policies when we came into the White House, and then the economy exploded. Nothing to do with that, right? It's just more...
You didn't build that.
Yeah, you didn't build that. Yes, America built it, along with those farmers, along with those factory workers that Michael Bloomberg hates. One last call, I promise. Lori in Pennsylvania, my friend. Welcome back, line one. Lori, welcome.
Love you, Dr. G. Listen, I mean, I know I've got no time here, but
You've got 2 minutes. That's a luxury. It's a lifetime.
I'm thrilled. I'm flattered. Is it not telling that Obama tweeted this out on the 11th anniversary and not the 10th?
Explain.
Because it's completely false.
Yes.
He's only tweeting it out now because it's an election year, and he's doing whatever he can to prop up his lame party, which is really weird because it's not his – even he is not as – well, at heart he's as far left, but he didn't run that far left. Anyway, that's not
And hang on, Lori, the weirdest thing is he still hasn't endorsed his vice president. How hilarious is that? How hilarious. Yeah. How weird. Carry on. You've got a whole minute and a half.
Right. So I know I've obviously let on previously that I'm a lawyer,
yes.
But what I haven't let on is that I'm a fifth generation farmer as well.
Oh, my God.
And I would just like to say.
So are you dumb or clever, according to Bloomberg? If you're a lawyer and a farmer, which are you?
Farmers are the most adaptable,
yes.
The most progressive, not in the political sense, okay, in the actual sense,
yeah.
People out there. There is no succeeding in farming. There's not even subsisting in farming
right.
If you're not adaptable and moving with the times. And let me just tell you, you're probably, I don't know, you've been an American for a while. Are you a lover of ketchup?
Only if it's mixed in with mayonnaise.
Okay, all right.
I know I'm a heretic.
Many listeners are proponents of ketchup. I just want to point some. Everybody should try to grow enough tomatoes in their home garden to make themselves a pint of ketchup.
All right, the challenge has been given at the end of the show. Mike Bloomberg, I want you to grow as many tomatoes as needed to supply one pint of ketchup. And tomorrow, Lori's going to ring back and tell us just how many pounds of tomatoes, that is. God bless you all. Back tomorrow.